Good morning. It's good to be here. I tell you, we've had a wonderful weekend, wonderful time in the house of the Lord, and beautiful singing. We've had some wonderful preaching, wonderful teachings that we needed to hear. And all weekend, I've been kind of struggling with some thoughts and minds, and I know that the subject that's on my mind this morning is probably not going to be a very popular one. You know, it seems like any time you start talking about something that we need to do, instead of talking about what the great things that God has done for us, you know, we kind of start getting kind of sleepy and not wanting to hear some things. You know, it's just something that we don't need to do anything, right? We're Primitive Baptists. We believe we're saved by grace. We're going to heaven no matter what, right? There's still some things that we need to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I was watching a video the other day, and a man was talking about, he read this verse 100 times in his lifetime, whatever, but the word endure really stuck out with him. And I got to studying on that, and I got to looking at that word, and I got to reading it for myself, and you know what? It does. It does stick out. Endure sound doctrine. We love sound doctrine, right? We love to hear the good old gospel being proclaimed. We love to hear those good, solid truths. But it says to endure sound doctrine. You don't endure things that you enjoy, right? If it's something you enjoy, you don't say, "Well, I endured that." No. And I had to do some, I like to do some research, and if I can pull it up real quick. The Webster's Dictionary for endure says to continue in the same state or to remain firm until suffering or misfortune without yielding. Says to undergo, especially without giving in. Well, that doesn't sound like something you enjoy. Something that you enjoy, you have fun doing it. You like to do it. You make time. You sacrifice stuff to do it. Doesn't sound like something that you endure. It's something you enjoy. But it says to endure sound doctrine. Here's the deal. He says, for the time will come when they. Who is he talking about? Is he talking about the world? No, he's talking about God's people, the chosen, the elect family of God, the born-again Christian. There will time when they will not endure sound doctrine. Amen. You mean that could happen? Amen. Oh, yes. It can happen. I think it's happening right now. Like we've heard this past weekend, the problems with our country, the problem with our country, with our churches and our families. It's because there is a lack of enduring sound doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, modern Christianity nowadays is all about the good things. You know, it's all about the feel-good doctrines, all about this and all about that. What can God do for you? The health and welfare doctrines we hear preaching. You know, these big mega churches that are popping up. I'm not trying to demonize the people that are trying to spread the gospel. I'm trying to point out the fact that some people, they only want to hear the good things. They don't want to hear the hard things. We cannot be buffet Christians. You know, you go to a buffet and you say, "Well, I want this. I don't want that. I want this. I don't want that." No, that's not the way the Word of God is. We have to read it all. Take it all. The good and the hard. Some things are going to be hard in this life. Some things are not going to be that pleasant. I think that's one of the things, you know, the devil. What was the first thing that we have recorded in Scripture that the devil did? He attacked the Word of God. In the garden, when he talked to Eve, he said, "Yea, hath God said."
That's right.
Attacking the very Word of God. And you see, nowadays we have so many different versions of the Bible. I tell you, it's getting to the point now, there's going to be so many versions out there. People are changing words and doing this and throwing this out and leaving this in, interjecting this, that people are not going to hear. They're not going to know doctrine when it's being preached. They're not going to even know the right scriptures. But he says, Paul's telling Timothy they're not going to endure sound doctrine. There's coming a time where people are not going to endure sound doctrine. So that means as being a follower of Christ, what did Christ say? His words, not mine, his words. If any man shall come after me, if any man shall be like him, deny himself. That's one thing. First thing we have to do is deny ourselves. Too much of what we hear today is, you know, you got to look out for yourself. You're number one. You know, you have to do this, you have to do that. That's the world will tell you. You got to look out for number one. Nobody's looking out for you. My God says to deny myself. My God says, I'll be there for you. My God is faithful. Even when I'm not, He remains faithful. My God said, I'll be there for you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We have promises that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Can you imagine Jesus in His earthly, in bodily form going to the cross? You know, Hebrews talks about that joy that was set before Him. You know, that joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. That word again, endure. That was not a pleasant experience. Going to the cross, everything leading up to the cross, and even being hanged on the cross, suffering and dying. That was not enjoyable. But there was a joy that was set before Him. That joy, He was going to enter back into glory. And one day come back and get all that He died for. That joy that was set before Him. Brothers and sisters, we have a joy that is set before us. Because of the finished work of Christ. There's a joy that is set before us that when we close our eyes in death, if we live to a ripe old age and we close our eyes in death, or somebody cuts it out short, anyway, we'll awake in His presence. We'll awake in His presence. Because we know these truths, because we have His truth, His Word, we need to be studying His Word and holding it in high regards and knowing what it says. So we can endure sound doctrine. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but have their own lusts, having us so heaped in themselves, teachers having itching ears. They're going to go and find a teacher that's talking the stuff they want to hear. You know, that's the thing about nowadays. Like, look, we've got all these things like YouTube channels and other channels on TV. If you don't want to watch this, you can watch something else. I mean, there's just so many options available. And United States of America is such a blessed nation. If you don't want this, go get something else. You know, that's the thing about free market, right? That's wonderful. You don't want this, you can go get something else. You want something better, go find something better. You'll never find anything better than the Word of God. It's truth. You know, if you go back in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes, Timothy says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not a helpful hint. It's not a compilation of men putting these things together. No, it is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. All of it. Even the stuff in there that says we've got stuff to do. Even the stuff that says that life may be kind of hard. But even times of suffering, even in times that we have troubled times, you know, the Lord Himself said, in this life ye shall have tribulations. Aren't you glad He didn't just stop there? That would be horrible if He just said, well, in this life you have tribulations. Good luck. See you later. No. He said, in this life you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. How can I be of good cheer? You said there's tribulation coming. He says, because I have overcome the world. That's the thing I hear so many times, but people just fretting so much about the end times, talking about a revelation, how it's just going to be a horrible time for Christians, all this, all doom and gloom and everything. Guess what? To sum up the book of Revelation, Jesus wins. Amen. It's done. It's over with. Before anything happens, he comes on the scene, it's gone. He wins. No matter what we have to face in this life, we have a joy that is set before us. So if somebody does come and snuff out our life, somebody does persecute us because we believe in the one and true living God, so be it. That's why we need to be in our nose in a book now. That's why we need to hunker down and read this word and arm ourselves with the armor of God so we can face the day. Brothers and sisters, if we're not doing that now, how are we going to do that when trials do come? How are we going to face the storms of life when they do arise? If I'm not putting my faith and trust in the one who gave us this word, if I'm not doing that, if I'm not willing to put my faith in him and read his word and try to pattern my life after that, what's going to happen when trials and tribulations do come? You know, we have this. Too often times the world is trying to, we're looking for happiness. You know, people spend their entire life, entire fortune on the pursuit of happiness instead of trying to pursue joy and peace. I tell you, some of the folks that were the most peaceful and the most joyous may have not even had two red cents to rub together, but they had Jesus. That hope that was within them, they had a lively hope, brother and sister. They had a smile on their face and they were an encouragement. And you look at some of these people that have everything at their fingertips and they're still lonely. They're still miserable. They don't have that joy. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter if you're a born-again child of God. We can all fall into those categories. I think back of the parable of the sower. You know, the wayside, the stony ground, the thorns, and the good ground. All four of those categories, I believe, are a child of God.
Amen.
We can all be in one of those categories. And I tell you, sometimes it could be one day. We can be like that wayside. But remember the stony ground? Remember the stony ground. They received the word. But because there was no deepness of earth, when the trials came and the sun was out, they withered away. They were not enduring sound doctrine. They were not enduring the sound doctrine. Remember, Jesus said to deny yourself. You know, some people hear that and they're like, well, that just means I'm nothing. I have to deny myself. I'm going to be a pauper for the rest of my life. No, that's not what it's saying. Deny yourself. Sometimes we need to deny ourselves so we can embed our family. Sometimes we need to put ourselves on a back burner because the whole truth is, you know, the Lord summed up the Ten Commandments into two, right? He said, love God and love one another. Loving one another. How can I love one another better if I'm putting me first and others last? That's not how it works. That's the thing about the economy we live in now. You want more money, you need to hoard it up, right? You need to save it. Well, God's economy, love, you want more love, you need to give it away. The more love that you're sending out, the more love you're showing to your fellow man, the more love that you're trying to show forth, brothers and sisters, it's going to come back and more. You'll receive more from it. But if we're not enduring sound doctrine, if we're not listening to the whole counsel of God, we're going to miss out. Again, can't be no buffet Christian. Can't just pick and choose of this word. Some things are tough. Some things are hard. Sometimes there may be some suffering that we may have to endure. Over in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, it says, for as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. We don't have time to read this whole chapter, but if you will, just kind of follow along with me. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you and throw some strange thing that happened unto you. You know, he'd already told us that, you know, in this life we should have tribulation. Things are coming. You know, storms of life that come up, just like, you know, ask a sailor that's been on the sea. You know, the storms can come out of nowhere. He says in verse 13, he says, but rejoice insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. You remember the time the apostles were taken and beaten and told not to preach in Jesus' name, and they went away from that experience rejoicing that they were counted, basically found guilty in serving the Lord. They counted a joy. They counted a privilege that somebody found me guilty. I like that time you said, if being a Christian was outlawed and you were put on trial, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you as a Christian? I hope so. I hope there's overwhelming evidence. But he says, but rejoice insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And then in chapter 5, in verse 6, Peter writes, he says, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Yes, he does care for us. He does care for us. He cares for us every single day. And he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's on the job. He's on the job all the time. That's why Peter is telling us to be sober, be vigilant, be clear-minded, arming ourselves. And he says, whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in you brethren that are in the world. And he says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. He cares for us. He has told us to cast your burdens upon me and take my burdens upon you, because my burdens are easy. Take my yoke upon you. That's, if I get the right word here, take my yoke upon you. You know, the thing about putting that yoke upon those beasts of burden, you know, that's the plow in a field or something like that. You need something strong that can hold that yoke and pull on to it. But the thing about it is, when we're taking a yoke with Jesus, he's yoked up with us, and we can be yoked with him. He's going to be carrying that load. But we need to face forward. You know, sometimes when I think about being yoked up with Christ, I think about that big animal, that big, huge, muscular animal that's hooked up with that yoke. And I'm like that little wiener dog on the other side. You know, my legs don't even touch the ground. But being yoked up with him, he's going to carry the load. That's the thing. It's this modern Christianity, they don't even talk about that kind of stuff right there. If we're enduring sound doctrine, listening to the whole counsel of God, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following him, I want to be numbered in one of those. I want to be counted as one of those. But I've got work to do. We all have work to do. We all have things that we need to better in our lives. We all have things that we need to change, something that we need to start doing. And we need to endure sound doctrine, listening to his word. modeling our lives after His Word. We don't have this Word haphazardly. It's for us. It's for us to learn. You know, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. It's for our learning. If we want to learn how to better our lives, we want to be a better husband, we want to be a better wife, we want to be a better father, a better mother, a better child, a better student, a better churchgoer, a better follower of Christ, then there's no better way to find out than in His Word. So, brother and sister, let us do what we need to do. Read His Word. Take it in. Hide it in our heart. And endure sound doctrine. May the Lord bless you.